under pressure. And then he will throw. Oh! Quick throw. Isaiah Simmons with the interception down the sideline. Simmons into the end zone. Touchdown Giants on their sixth takeaway.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, everyone. My name is Andy Herman. That was Isaiah Simmons. It's an unbelievable interception, courtesy of Fox. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Going to want to make sure to check that out. Mitch Thunder Nellis, I should say. And, of course, the wonderful, the legendary Mason Crosby. We are right now being joined, however, by the legendary Wes Hodkiewicz. You can find him as a writer for Packers.com. You can find him on social media at Wes Hod. Wes, it is great to be chatting with you. There's a lot that we can get into from a draft standpoint, but let me start by asking you this. Who would win, one gorilla or 11 Wes Hodkiewiczes?
11? Dude, one gorilla.
100. I'm sorry, 100 Wes Hodkiewiczes. Sorry, 100 Wes Hodkiewiczes.
It might still be the gorilla. I mean, we'd have, like, you know, this has been a big thing here the last couple days, but I don't know, man. We'd have to have a real, real, like, well-thought-out strategy in order to tackle that beast.
I like the brain on Wes Hod, 100 Wes Hodkiewicz, to be able to come up with a plan well enough, though. So I'm taking the Wes Hods. All right, Wes,
a normal 100 man might be able to do it, but I don't know about myself. I don't have that kind of faith.
Well, maybe we can AI it somehow and figure out, simulate it in some capacity to put it on a, you know, WWE video game or something. Wes, it's great to be chatting with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Obviously, the Packers are coming off an unbelievable draft, just hosting it in Green Bay. What an unbelievable moment for Mark Murphy, the organization, the city of Green Bay as a whole. Let me just start there. What were your thoughts, expectations, nerves going into the entire draft, and then what you saw happen over the course of the week and the weekend? How did that sort of either meet or fall above or below expectations? Like, how did it go for you?
Yeah, I had no nerves as far as the actual execution of the event. I knew what a lot of the people inside the building had been doing and the work they'd been putting in for the past few years. I mean, we had interns whose sole focus was on the draft, and obviously Mark Murphy and the security staff, everybody. I thought every I would be dotted and every T would be crossed. The thing I was probably overwhelmingly surprised by was just the overall response to it. I was sitting at lunch on Thursday with one of my coworkers. We're kind of wondering, like, hey, how many people do you think will come out? Will the theater area, the general missionary, will be full? And then within hours, I'm staring out at the sea of people. And I just thought it brought out the best in Green Bay. I thought it showed the NFL and some of these naysayers nationally about, oh, is Green Bay too small? No, dude, this is what we do. We are built on professional football and on Packers football. And I was not by any means surprised or taken aback by just how well executed this thing was. I didn't want to jinx it. I didn't want to say anything about it until Saturday or afterwards. But overall, I mean, just the overall execution of it. And then the other thing, I was talking to some NFL folks afterwards. I mean, this footprint was built for an NFL draft. I mean, there's a lot of these big cities, man. It is tough to get in semis. It is tough to get in all their trucks. This thing, we shut down a portion of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin, to facilitate this thing. I think there was a lot of folks from the NFL, too, that were really over the moon about just the ease of access and being able to get this thing in and out.
Yeah, I can imagine that was definitely the case. And yes, as somebody who's been in Green Bay my whole life, there was definitely a portion of Green Bay shut down. It was a little bit disadvantageous at times. I can only imagine probably a little bit more for you having to go in there every day, but still well worth it for an experience like that. And I'm with you. I think Green Bay showed out, and it showed you that, again, we are built for football in any way, shape, or form here in Green Bay. What has this meant for the city of Green Bay, the Packers, Mark Murphy, his legacy? Is there anything that comes out of this as a positive other than, again, just the all eyes were on Green Bay and we came out looking awesome for it?
I just love the response to Mark. I made this comment to some other people and some other conversations I've had. You know, I doubt he's watched any WWE or pro wrestling in his day, but I don't know of any other sports executive that understands pro wrestling psychology better than Mark Murphy. I mean, the way he played to the crowd when they drafted Matthew Golden, I don't think you could have drawn that up any better. And it was a fitting capstone to what has been a very successful 17-year run here. On the field, 13 playoff appearances, obviously the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship games, the unprecedented growth we've seen around Lambeau Field with Title Town and some of the other advancements, the football area to the east side of the stadium, that all goes without saying. But I think the other thing that people, I hope, will appreciate about Mark was just the type of leader he was. And I've said this, I came from the newspaper industry. I've seen what bad leadership looks like. I've seen what it looks like when you don't have vision, when you don't have direction, and you're just a title and you're collecting a paycheck. Mark Murphy was so invested into his employees, into this organization, in the groups that he has to run in, man. I mean, he always makes that joke about he's an owner without the money when he goes to these spring meetings and everything. And Mark carried the banner, I think, for the Packers as well as anybody could. So I'm just really excited for him, and I'm just glad that this was how it all turned out.
We're being joined by Wes Hodkovitz, writer for Packers.com. You can find him on social media at Wes Hod. I was going to ask you next is, like, you know, when he was preparing for the draft, did he go down to the WWE Performance Center, get some time in the NXT lab working on his promos or whatever? But no, that was unbelievable. I mean, to play to the smart crowd first of, like, for the first time since 2002, and then a pause, and then wide receiver, and then another pause, and then, Matthew Golden, and then the huge eruption after that. Just so unbelievably well done in perfect showmanship form. Do we know the official transition date for Mark into Ed Policy?
I think it's his birthday, which I believe you can Google this. You can check this out, Andy, but I believe it's July 14th. I mean, I think the official, like, formal transition will occur at the shareholders meeting. I think that's where they've kind of propped this thing up, is that being where Ed will formally take everything over. But yeah, once you reach the mandatory 70 years old retirement date, which is the same for the board of directors, it's the same for Mark, who by proxy of being the president CEO is on the board of directors, that's the date that he transitions out.
Yeah, July 13th is that birthday. So, yep, that makes a ton of sense, and that'll be a perfect sort of transition period for him. And again, like you said, well-deserving of the flowers, and just, again, getting a draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I joked, and you'll appreciate this maybe more than anyone, that if Super Bowl is the WrestleMania, the draft has become the SummerSlam for NFL. So to be able to host something like that in Green Bay, it's just, again, kind of a crowning achievement on the perfect end of his reign in Green Bay, which has been amazing. All right, Wes, we've obviously got some draft picks to talk about as well. He announced that pick, Matthew Golden, round one to Green Bay. The sort of your thoughts, you obviously had the opportunity to write about him so far, but what he might be able to bring to Green Bay moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty exciting for me personally, Andy, because for the first time in 12 years, I managed to actually get the Packers draft pick right for once.
There's
been a lot of swings and misses there since Dayton Jones, but be that as it may, there were so many things alike about this kid. I mean, I wrote this in our Insider Inbox column today. You know, he checks every box when you're making an investment in a first-round talent. Certainly the speed jumps off the page. 4.29 speed, the fastest 10-yard split at the combine as well. He went to Texas. He challenged himself. Now, I give him a lot of credit. He's a Houston kid. He stayed close to home the first 2 years, but he makes that transition to Texas. Averages 17.0 yards per catch, showed that big play production could carry over, actually took a step with his game during that year in the SEC. And also off the field is just, from everything I've been told, just a tremendous person and a high character guy. That's what Green Bay's all about. And for him to be the one that the Packers finally moved on with the first round pick, I think that tells you how special he is and exactly what Green Bay is expecting from this kid.
Yeah, I think so too. Brian Gutekunst said he's authentic, genuine, loves football. Sounds very much like a classic Green Bay Packers pick. And now he's really, really exciting. Yes, he has the speed, but he is a very well-rounded wide receiver. And to your point, Wes, one of my favorite things about him, I was going back yesterday and watching all of his Houston stuff. It was really good from day one in Houston, but he got better year over year over year, and played his best football when going to the SEC, when going to Texas, when making that transition. He was still continuing to grow and get better, and really excited to see if that can hopefully continue as he makes his transition into the NFL and might just have a little bit of a better quarterback throwing him some of those deep balls than maybe he had this past year as well, which I'm excited about. All right, again, we're being joined by Wes Hodkovitz, Packers.com. Make sure you're always checking out all of his incredible work. And then obviously we get to day two of the draft, and then you get maybe a few more surprises, which is usually the case with Goody in rounds two and three. But you get Anthony Belton in the second round. You get Savion Williams, another wide receiver, in the third round. What did you make of those two selections?
Well, Belton's interesting. I mean, you know this better than anybody, you know, kind of looking at the Packers and the film and all that stuff. It's just he's so much different from what Green Bay has had traditionally in terms of what they've invested draft picks into. It's always been very much on the athleticism side, and not that he's not a good athlete, but I mean, this is a 6'6", 335-pound road grader. This is a guy that I think is a mauler on film. I was talking to Larry McCarron about it after the draft when we were doing one of our videos, and he said, I mean, you watch some of his tape. I mean, he is putting dudes in the ground. It's not as much finesse as maybe the David Bakhtiari and, you know, Zach Tom type tackles Green Bay has had. So, very excited about his overall. He does still have good, you know, footwork and athleticism for a guy that big, but yeah, just a different type of tackle than what they've had traditionally. The Savion Williams one definitely goes down as the biggest surprise for me of the draft. For them to dip back into receiver, I think tells you just what they thought about this dude. And certainly he has an all around, again, when you're drafting guys in the first 2 days, you're looking for real interesting traits mixed with production. And he had an incredible, you know, run in terms of his playmaking at TCU. It'll be interesting to see what lane Green Bay moves in with him. But at 6'4", 222, and still can run in the 4.4s, I mean, he definitely brings the size and speed that you're only going to find in so many NFL receivers.
Yeah, he's willing to run some faces as well, which you love, his run after the catch ability, breaking tackle ability, what he can do in the open field. It's just one of those guys you want to get the ball in his hands as much as possible and just let him cook, which, you know, Green Bay's had players that you can do that with, but not necessarily to his, you know, size with that speed along with it. Can also cut on a dime. He's just a very, very unique player. And you could kind of feel, too, of like Goody said at that night of, hey, like, I didn't necessarily expect to be coming out and talking about two wide receivers, but it just shows you the value that they put on him to take another wide receiver on that second day of the draft.
Yeah, and again, we'll see where he all fits. I just look at it, certainly we're going to use the gadget term and we're going to make the Patterson comparisons and all that, but this guy does seem like a really, you know, burgeoning receiver, like an all-around big perimeter time receiver. So, again, the Packers, we've seen this time and time again, Andy, when things don't necessarily go according to plan at a position and they make changes, Brian is willing to invest those resources immediately in multiple. And I kind of felt like in the first 2 days, that's what happened there with the wideouts.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. And then, of course, you get to day three of the draft. A variety of different draft picks. I immediately said, I'm sure at some point Wes is going to, and maybe you have already, I just haven't had the chance to see it. I literally said, like, Wes is going to write an article about the entire Baron Sorrell experience. And I'm like, I already cannot wait to read it. But this was obviously an unbelievable situation for him. But what did you make of some of these day three selections? What kind of stood out to you?
Well, okay, so first and foremost, Baron Sorrell, nobody's ever seen this before, right? I mean, this kid is not, he's not from Green Bay. He gets himself up here himself, bets on himself financially and figuratively, and then it ends up having a once-in-a-lifetime moment there. And I thought that really was a true testament to him. It could have been really easy for him to just to pack his, you know, tuck his tail after Friday when he didn't get the opportunity to go and get drafted and just call it a day, but he stuck it out. And Green Bay rewards him. What's been really fun, in addition to just hearing his story, is just figuring out the type of player he is. I mean, this is a guy that sounds like he's a pretty good run defender, is sort of an emerging pass rusher, still developing those tools. But 6'3", almost 6'4", 253 pounds, he puts up some weight on the bench. I mean, and he had some, you know, serviceable speed as well. I mean, he does have everything you look for, and the fact that he stuck it out, I think it almost tells you more now about these guys when they go 4 or 5 years at these colleges without transferring. He wanted an opportunity. He looked for it at Texas. They gave it to him as a 3-star recruit, and he made himself into an NFL draft pick. So for him to be the edge rusher made a lot of sense. And then beyond that, I thought Brian did an excellent job of really building out depth at other areas. That's always what this thing is about. It's about giving themselves as many different swings at the bat at all these different positions as possible. And even though they ended up with only 8 draft picks, I felt like Brian was able to do that.
Yeah, I think so too. And just going back to Sorrell, Wes, we've done this for a while, covering this draft after the Green Bay's done it. I can't remember a time in any draft where I've seen a 4th round edge rusher that hits all of the productivity. He played in the SEC, hits all of the athletic measurables. By all accounts, I mean, we heard Goody say, like, they asked every Texas player, you know, who could you take with you if you could take any Texas player with you, and it was Sorrell. Hits all the, like, character stuff, has not had health issues, has not, like, you hear the cliche, like, check all the boxes all the time. And here somehow in the fourth round is a SEC edge rusher that's hit every checkbox or checked every box that you could possibly imagine. That this is like a guy that goes in the second round every time. This edge rusher class, I don't think, got the credit for how deep it was. We heard about the defensive tackles all the time. I thought the edge class was incredibly deep, and this is where you just got an advantage of somebody like this that's normally a second round pick falling to the fourth round for you.
Well, and dude, you look at some of these guys, like, I was surprised how long Birch stuck around the board. I don't know what exactly was, if, I mean, you can only draft one player, so ultimately people will fall. But yeah, I was, when I learned more about him, I became more and more surprised that he was still there for Green Bay on day three. Now, was it the fact that, you know, he had, what, 6 sacks last year, I think was his career high, that he didn't have, like, this 11.5 sack year like, you know, Colin Oliver did during his first year at Oklahoma State? You never can be too sure. Those are only the questions that the GMs and the, you know, the real pundits know. But for Green Bay, and the team that everyone kept talking about, Brian, are you going to add an edge rusher? Are you going to add an edge rusher? This definitely seemed like someone that fell into their lap and could have the potential to, depending again on how this offseason program goes and everything like that, the opportunity's right there for him to contribute right away if he can earn those opportunities.
No, I totally agree with you. As we kind of finish things up here, Wes, as you look at the state of the roster right now, how do you view this roster? What were they able to accomplish in the draft? Anything that you feel like they still might need to kind of keep an eye out for? Or you feel like this is a pretty well-rounded roster going into the season now?
Very well-rounded, especially with how young they were and how many returning players they have. I just look at that, the offensive line in particular. I mean, with no disrespect at all to Josh Myers, I mean, Josh signed a one-year, $3.5 million contract with the Jets, whereas Green Bay now has Elgton Jenkins moving to center, and then you have, you know, a guy like Aaron Banks coming in. Oh, and then you made them even deeper now with Jordan Morgan coming back and now adding Belton. I just felt like the positions where Green Bay had some question marks and where they need to make, you know, some adjustments, they've made those adjustments. Now, the one thing that will continue to linger here that we're just going to have to wait and see is cornerback. If it works out and Jair Alexander's back, I think you have, again, one of the deeper cornerback rooms in the National Football League with Hobbs jumping on board. If he's not, then they got to figure a couple things out yet. But be that as it may, Brian has always been a guy that he's never going to be in a position where he has to draft a specific player or he has to sign a specific player. He's going to be able to give the coaching staff a full breadth of talent and see what they can do and who emerges from that group, like Evan Williams last year. So, overall, it's paired with what I think is going to be a pretty talented undrafted class. If this all works out and the physicals pass what's been reported, I think this probably could go down as one of Brian's better UFA classes as well. I think this could be set up to be a really competitive summer camp.
Yeah, I cannot wait for it. Wes, before we get you out of here, again, we're being joined by Wes Hotkovitz of Packers.com. What's your number 1A thing that you're excited to kind of watch at rookie minicamp when we get there?
It's always, for me, the speed work stuff because, again, there's no pads. There is only so much that you can see. But, I mean, a lot of times when you would watch, I remember, you know, in 2019 watching Rashawn Gary for the first time and, you know, seeing some of these guys that have these real tools that you can't coach. They're just there inherently. You're looking at some of the best athletes this country has to offer, this world has to offer. That's always the most fun for me. But in that regard, it probably will be keeping a real close tab on Golden and Williams and just seeing how they look and kind of having the backlog of past rookie mini camps, just seeing who could potentially impress.
Wes, I cannot thank you enough. It's always great having these conversations with you. You always bring a wealth of knowledge. Where can we find all of your incredible work, and what do you got cooking on Packers.com this week?
At Packers on Twitter, Instagram, or at Packers. Yeah, you can do that too, but mine is at Wes Hod on Instagram, Twitter, all those fun places. Yeah, we're going to get into it now. We'll have the rookie mini camp this weekend, hopefully crank out some stories, maybe a couple long-form stuff too, and try to dig in a little bit more into these prospects. But yeah, it's funny, dude. It goes from the end of the season to the snow, and then you got the combine and the owners meetings and now the draft, and suddenly you got players coming in the building again. So it's an exciting time.
It never really quits, does it? It's a constant cycle. We'll get a little bit of a break.
What's that?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, for sure.
The NFL makes sure it doesn't. Yeah.
They do a great job of that for sure. Wes, I cannot thank you enough. We'll be checking all stuff out over on Packers.com. We'll be following you at Wes Hod. We'll talk again soon. Thanks so much, my friend.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
You bet. That is the wonderful Wes Hodkowitz. Find him over on Packers.com. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We're going to be right back after this. We got a lot more to discuss, so do not go anywhere.